Greetings in the Lord. It is the 12th day of August in the year of our Lord 2020. You are listening to The Daily Sword, a daily guide to prayer and Bible reading produced by Sovereign King Church in Southern Indiana and on the Fight Laugh Feast Network. I pray this podcast is a blessing to you. Let us begin. Our call to faith and repentance today comes from Titus chapter 1, verse 4. To Titus, my true child in a common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Savior. Have you ever stopped to consider original audiences of Scripture and your relation to them? You know, sometimes we act like the Bible fell out of heaven into our very own lap as if God's Word was given directly to us. Yet the Word of God comes to us much more indirectly. The Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote this letter to Titus, the disciple of his whom he had left on Crete. We know from context that the Apostle Paul had a larger purpose in mind than a personal letter to Titus. He had a larger audience in mind than only Titus. He had in mind the church at Crete. One way we know this is that the Apostle Paul ends the letter by saying, "Grace be to you," which is a plural you. He lets slip that this letter was meant to be for more than just Titus. And because it's in our Bible, we know that the letter was read to the church in Crete and many other churches since then. So why didn't Paul just address it to the church in Crete? It's clear in the letter that the church of Crete was to receive this letter and thus its instruction through the mediation of Titus. This would serve to bolster the authority of Titus on the island. The Apostle Paul worked to strengthen the authority of Titus in the eyes of the people by addressing the letter to him as the primary audience. The churches in Crete were a secondary audience. This isn't the only time this type of thing happens in Scripture. That is, there's a primary audience and then a secondary and even tertiary audiences who receive the Word of God as if mediated through the first. For example, the Bible as a whole was primarily addressed to men. Over and over again, the Bible addressed the whole audience it is speaking to as adelphos, which means brothers. For example, in Romans 12:1, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Or in Philippians 3:17, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example." Now, it's not as if the scripture was not meant for women and children to hear and receive. In the church, as these letters were read, the women and children would hear it as a secondary audience. If they had any questions, they would ask their husbands and fathers at home. The whole church meant to hear the word, although it addressed primarily to men. The women and children would receive it in a derivative way through the primary audience. Bringing this around to us, we are downstream from Titus and the church in Crete. We're downstream from the early church. We're 2,000 years downstream. For us, the Word of God comes from God to Paul to Titus to the church in Crete to the early church through the years to now. Now, listen, I'm not referring to the telephone game. I'm not talking about the transmission of the text being this thing where somebody says something to somebody, to somebody, to somebody, and then it gets distorted. But rather, I'm talking about the context that we are in as an audience of the original messages. The beauty of it is that in God's wisdom, He had all the audiences in mind when He gave His Word. His Word is just as living and powerful today as it is when it was given to Titus. Yet we ought to learn something from the way that we receive God's Word. It ought to teach us humility. We do not have anything that we have not received. We ought to treat the Word of God with reverence and fear, receiving it in humility. The doctrines and truths contained in are not mere trinkets for us to banter back and forth about. We don't trade theology like Pokemon cards. We should treat it as the Word of God. We ought to recognize that the Scripture was given to the church. It finds its true fulfillment in the church. This is not to say that it has nothing to say to those outside the church, but rather that it is in the church that we come to fully understand and live it out. We ought to recognize the authority of elders, pastors, and those who have been called to preach and teach it. We ought to recognize the history of the church in receiving it and teaching it. This is not to say that there's some office in Rome that gives the official interpretation. but rather that God has equipped men throughout the ages to teach and preach it. We ought to consider the great heritage that came before us as we seek to diligently study the Scriptures. We ought to recognize the great treasure we have in the Word of God and the responsibility we carry with it. We have access to it in ways that no previous generations have. Many have suffered and died to bring us the text. What a sacred truth and honorable obligation we have to contend for the faith. Obviously, we ought to study to understand what the primary audience was meant to understand when they received the text. We ought to recognize the stations of life God calls us to and receive the text and its commands to us to be lived out according to where God has placed us in life. Men should recognize their calling as heads of the home. They should also recognize the responsibility that they have to make sure their wives and children receive the words of God. Women should learn in all humility, recognizing the headship of their husbands and fathers. Children ought to honor their parents, and parents ought to raise their children in light of the text, to understand the text of Scripture, to love the Word of God. Lastly, the fact that we receive the Scripture derivatively should teach us that we come to the Father through mediation. We have one way to God, and that is through the one mediator between God and man, Christ Jesus. We may only come to the Father through Him. He has revealed the Father to us, and we ought to worship at His feet. He is our King, and His Word is good. As we come today before His throne to receive that instruction and lift up our petitions, let us first bow our knees and plead for the mercy of God. Lord God, eternal and almighty Father, we acknowledge before Your holy majesty that we are poor sinners, conceived and born in guilt and in corruption, prone to do evil, unable of our own power to do good. Because of our sin, we endlessly violate Your holy commandments. But, O Lord, with heartfelt sorrow, we repent and turn away from all our offenses. We condemn ourselves and our evil ways, with true sorrow, asking that Your grace will relieve our distress. Have compassion on us, most gracious God, Father of mercies, for the sake of Your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And in removing our guilt, also grant us daily increase of the grace of Your Holy Spirit, and produce in us fruits of holiness and of righteousness pleasing in Your sight. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on us sinners. The Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, does not desire the death of a sinner, rather that he may turn from his wickedness and live. He pardons and absolves all who truly repent and unfeignedly believe his holy gospel. Therefore, we beseech him to grant us true repentance and his Holy Spirit, that those things may please him which we do at this present, and that the rest of our life hereafter may be pure and holy, so that at the last we may come to his eternal joy. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Brothers, examine your consciences to know whether you truly repent of your sins, whether by trusting in God's mercy and seeking your salvation in Jesus Christ alone, you resolve to pursue holiness and to live in peace and love with all men. If you have this testimony in your hearts before God, then be assured that your sins are forgiven through the perfect merit of Jesus Christ our Lord. O Lord, open thou our lips, and our mouth shall show forth thy praise. Open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the Scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Listen now to this psalm reading from Psalm chapter 116. This is the word of God. It is eternally true and applicable for all of life. I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my supplications, because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I shall call upon him as long as I live. The cords of death encompassed me, and the terrors of Sheol came upon me. I found distress and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech you, save my life. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is compassionate. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low, and he saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have rescued my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I shall walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed when I said, I am greatly afflicted. I said in my alarm, all men are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for his benefits towards me? I shall lift up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I shall pay my vows to the Lord. Oh, may be it in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his godly ones. O Lord, surely I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your handmaid. You have loosed my bonds. To you I shall offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord. I shall pay my vows to the Lord. Oh, may it be in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. This is the word of the Lord, and we do give praise to him. Praise his name. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Hallelujah. Brothers, every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Therefore, listen to this Old Testament reading from 1 Samuel chapter 24 through chapter 25. This is the word of God. It is eternally true and applicable for all of life. And when Saul returned from pursuing the Philistines, he was told, saying, "Behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi." Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men from all Israel and went to seek David and his men in front of the rocks of the wild goats. He came to the sheepfolds on the way where there was a cave, and Saul went in to relieve himself. Now David and his men were sitting in the inner recesses of the cave. The men of David said to him, "Behold, this is the day of which the Lord said to you, 'Behold, I am about to give your enemy into your hand, and you shall do to him as it seems good to you.'" Then David arose and cut off the edge of Saul's robe secretly. It came about afterward that David's conscience bothered him because he had cut off the edge of Saul's robe. So he said to his men, "Far be it from me because of the Lord that I should do this thing to my Lord, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, since he is the Lord's anointed." David persuaded his men with these words and did not allow them to rise up against Saul. And Saul arose, left the cave, and went on his way. Now afterward, David arose and went out of the cave and called after Saul, saying, "My Lord, the king!" And when Saul looked behind him, David bowed with his face to the ground and prostrated himself. David said to Saul, "Why do you listen to the words of men, saying, 'Behold, David seeks to harm you'? Behold, this day your eyes have seen that the Lord has given you today into my hand in the cave. And some said to kill you, but my eye had pity on you, and I said, 'I will not stretch out my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed.' Now, my father, see, indeed, see the edge of your robe in my hand, for in that I cut off the edge of your robe and did not kill you. Know and perceive that there is no evil or rebellion in my hands, and I have not sinned against you, though you are lying in wait for my life to take it. May the Lord judge between you and me, and may the Lord avenge me on you, but my hand shall not be against you. As the proverb of the ancient says, 'Out of the wicked comes forth wickedness,' but my hand shall not be against you. After whom has the king of Israel come out? Whom are you pursuing? A dead dog? A single flea? The Lord therefore be judge and decide between you and me, and may he see and plead my cause and deliver me from your hand." When David had finished speaking these words to Saul, Saul said, "Is this your voice, my son David?" Then Saul lifted up his voice and wept. He said to David, "You are more righteous than I, for you have dealt well with me, while I have dealt wickedly with you. You have declared the day that you have done good to me, that the Lord delivered me into your hand, and yet you did not kill me. For if a man finds his enemy, will he let him go away safely? May the Lord therefore reward you with good in return for what you have done to me this day. Now behold, I know that you will surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel will be established in your hand. So now swear to me by the Lord that you will not cut off my descendants after me, and that you will not destroy my name from my father's household." David swore to Saul, and Saul went to his home. But David and his men went up to the stronghold. Then Samuel died, and all Israel gathered together and mourned for him, and buried him at his house in Ramah. And David rose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. Now there was a man of Maon whose business was in Carmel, and the man was very rich, and he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. And it came about while he was shearing his sheep in Carmel, Now the man's name was Nabal, and his wife's name was Abigail. And the woman was intelligent and beautiful in appearance, but the man was harsh and evil in his dealings, and he was a Calebite. That David heard in the wilderness that Nabal was shearing his sheep. So David sent 10 young men, and David said to the young men, "Go up to Carmel, visit Nabal, and greet him in my name. And thus you shall say, 'Have a long life, peace be to you, and peace be to your house, and peace be to all that you have.' Now I have heard that you have shears. Now your shepherds have been with us, and we have not insulted them, nor have they missed anything all the days they were in Carmel. Ask your young men, and they will tell you. Therefore, let my young men find favor in your eyes, for we have come on a festive day. Please, give whatever you find at hand to your servants and to your son David." When David's young men came, they spoke to Nabal according to all these words in David's name, and they waited. But Nabal answered David's servants and said, "Who is David? Who is the son of Jesse? There are many servants today who are each breaking away from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my meat that I have slaughtered for my shearers and give it to men whose origin I do not know?" So David's young men retraced their way and went back, and they came and told him according to all these words. David said to his men, "Each of you gird on his sword." So each man girded on his sword, and David also girded on his sword. And about 400 men went up behind David, while 200 stayed with the baggage. But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, "Behold, David sent messengers from the wilderness to greet our master, and he scorned them. Yet the men were very good to us, and we were not insulted, nor did we miss anything as long as we went about with them while we were in the fields. They were a wall to us both by day and by night, all the time we were with them tending the sheep. Now therefore, know and consider what you should do, for evil is plotted against our master and against all his household, and he is such a worthless man that no one can speak to him." Then Abigail hurried and took 200 loaves of bread and 2 jugs of wine and 5 sheep already prepared and 5 measures of roasted grain and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs and loaded them on donkeys. She said to her young men, "Go on before me. Behold, I am coming after you." But she did not tell her husband Nabal. It came about as she was riding on her donkey and coming down by the hidden part of the mountain that, behold, David and his men were coming down toward her. So she met them. Now David had said, "Surely in vain I have guarded all this man has in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that belonged to him, and he has returned me evil for good. May God do so to the enemies of David, and more also if by morning I leave as much as 1 male of any who belong to him." When Abigail saw David, she hurried and dismounted from her donkey and fell on her face before David and bowed herself to the ground. She fell at his feet and said, "On me alone, my lord, be the blame. And please let your maidservant speak to you and listen to the words of your maidservant. Please, do not let my lord pay attention to this worthless man, Nabal, for as his name is, so he is. Nabal is his name and folly is with him. But I, your maidservant, did not see the young men of my lord whom you sent. Now, therefore, my lord, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, since the Lord has restrained you from shedding blood and from avenging yourself by your own hand, now then let your enemies and those who seek evil against my lord be as Nabal. Now let this gift which your maidservant has brought to my lord be given to the young men who accompany my lord. Please forgive the transgression of your maidservant, for the Lord will certainly make for my lord an enduring house, because my lord is fighting the battles of the Lord, and evil will not be found in you all your days. Should anyone rise up to pursue you and seek your life, then the life of my lord shall be bound in the bundle of the living with the Lord your God, but the lives of your enemies he will sling out as from the hollow of a sling. And when the Lord does for my lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning you and appoints you ruler over Israel, this will not cause grief or a troubled heart for my lord, both by having shed blood without cause and by my lord having avenged himself. When the Lord deals well with my lord, then remember your maidservant." Then David said to Abigail, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel who sent you this day to me. And blessed be your discernment, and blessed be you who have kept me this day from bloodshed and from avenging myself by my own hand. Nevertheless, as the Lord of God of Israel lives, who has restrained me from harming you, unless you come quickly to meet me, surely there would not have been left to Nabal until the morning light as much as 1 male. So David received from her hand what she had brought him and said to her, "Go up to your house in peace. See, I have listened to you and granted your request." Then Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he was holding a feast at his house, like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within, for he was very drunk. So she did not tell him anything at all until the morning light. But in the morning, when the wine had gone out of Nabal, his wife told him these things, and his heart died within him, so that he became as a stone. About 10 days later, the Lord struck Nabal, and he died. When David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, "Blessed be the Lord, who has pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal, and has kept back his servant from evil. The Lord has also returned the evil doing of Nabal in his own hand." Then David sent a proposal to Abigail to take her as his wife. When the servants of David came to Abigail at Carmel, they spoke to her, saying, "David has sent us to you to take you as his wife." She arose and bowed with her face to the ground and said, "Behold, your maidservant is a maid to wash the feet of my lord's servants." Then Abigail quickly arose and rode on a donkey with her 5 maidens who attended her, and she followed the messenger of David and became his wife. David had also taken Ahinoam of Jezreel, and they both became his wives. Now Saul had given Michal, his daughter, David's wife, to Palti, the son of Laish, who was from Galim. This is the word of the Lord, and we give praise to God. Glory be to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God, make speed to save us. Now, brothers, the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed, and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. Therefore, listen to the New Testament reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 22 through 42. This is the word of God. It is eternally true and applicable for all of life. At that time, the feast of dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. The Jews then gathered around him and were saying to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, these testify of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." The Jews picked up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, "I showed you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you stoning me?" The Jews answered him, "For a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself out to be God." Jesus answered them, "Has it not been written in your law, 'I said, you are gods'? If he calls them gods to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, 'You are blaspheming, because I said, I am the Son of God'? If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do them, though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father." Therefore they were seeking again to seize him, and he eluded their grasps. And he went away again beyond the Jordan to the place where John was first baptizing, and he was staying there. Many came to him and were saying, "Well, John performed no sign, yet everything John said about this man was true." Many believed in him there. This is the word of God, and we give thanks to God as we profess that we believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Brothers, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. Therefore, listen to this reading from the book of Proverbs, chapter 29, verses 21 through 27. He who pampers his slave from childhood will in the end find him to be a son. An angry man stirs up strife, and a hot-tempered man abounds in transgression. A man's pride will bring him low, but a humble spirit will obtain honor. He who is a partner with a thief hates his own life. He hears the oath but tells nothing. The fear of man brings a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted. Many seek the ruler's favor, but justice for man comes from the Lord. An unjust man is an abominable to the righteous, and he who is upright in the way is abominable to the wicked. This is the word of the Lord, and we give thanks to God. Let us pray. Father, your word is clear. But if you are upright, you're an abomination to the wicked. They hate us, God. They hate us not because of anything in us. They hate us because of your righteousness and how you enable us to live righteous. They hated your son. They will hate us. Furthermore, your word makes it very clear that an unjust man is an abomination to the righteous. Lord, may we hate evil and all those who do evil. May we hate the wicked and the wicked ways of this world. Preserve us from them. Make us just, make us righteous, make us holy. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, brothers, may you grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. You've been listening to The Daily Sword by Sovereign King Church. We pray this has been a blessing to you. Visit www.sovereignkingchurch.com.